They are roaming the skies over Tehran. They're not even being shot at because their equipment's been totally decimated. They have nothing to shoot. They have no Navy. They have no anything. And just think about this. They have no Navy. They have no military. They have no nothing. They're losing. They admit they're losing. They're begging to make a deal. And if you read the fake New York Times, a corrupt newspaper, where I'm suing them and I think I should do very well, but you would almost think, who's winning? It's so fraudulent. But just to finish up with the New York Times, if you read the New York Times prior to my election victory, including the first one and the second one too, I won three times. I won three times convincingly. But let's go to the third victory. If you read the New York Times, you would say, oh, Trump's going to lose. But I won in a landslide. I won the popular vote. I won the Electoral College in a massive number, right? Massive. I won the counties. 86% of the counties I won. All of these different things. Winning the popular vote for Republicans, you know, pretty amazing. But if you read the New York Times for months and months and months, you were hearing, oh, Trump is doing so badly. We have to straighten out our media. The reason their circulation is way down, the New York Times circulation, you know, has gone way down. Washington Post is almost extinct. The papers that are being dishonest, the papers generally, people don't believe the media. And to finish, I got 93% bad publicity. Some people say 97, but between 93 and 97. A person that gets 97% of bad stories, maybe Caroline's doing a poor job, I don't know. She's my representative. You're doing a terrible job. Should we keep her? I think we'll keep her. But I get 93 to 97% bad press, all fake. I won in a landslide. When you get 93 to 97 bad stories, bad press, and you win in a landslide, you know what that says? People don't believe the press. And when people don't believe the press, that's a very bad thing for our country. And when you look at, let's say, the New York Times or the Washington Post, the stories are so fake. Wall Street Journal, too, a lot of bad stories. I don't know what happened to them, but they're bad. Their circulation went way down, Wall Street Journal. I don't know if you saw the numbers that came out yesterday. New York Times, way down. Wall Street Journal, way down. Washington Post, number one, way down. Because people don't believe them anymore. And until they get, it's not the paper, it's not the big, it's that they have no credibility anymore.
Okay, well, we'll leave Donald Trump there complaining about the media again and fake news. But Ali and Sonia, very mixed messages in that little briefing that we saw there in the White House. He said that a madman who wants a nuclear weapon can't be allowed to exist. But then he also said that there is a new regime now, which is much more acceptable. They don't have to make a deal with me when they're put into the Stone Ages and can't come up with a nuclear weapon. We will leave, don't have to do a deal. And it could be within two weeks, as you say.
Is anyone buying this baloney? Really? I mean, you know what I feel sad about? I'll tell you who I feel sad for. The 20 U.S. military personnel who were injured on Friday in Saudi Arabia on a base. Right? What are they making of this absolute nonsense that's coming out here? I mean, you talk about escalation dominance here. Escalation dominance at the moment is not with the U.S. It's with Iran. And if you read every pronouncement that's coming out of the Iranian regime, which apparently has been replaced, every pronouncement is we can't trust this guy. Right? And he's also made the thing that I picked up in there, apart from the fact that people are dying, right? And this has become a gamification of war. You listen to Pistol Pete Hegseth and you listen to the US president and you're thinking, war is difficult. War is hard. War, sometimes you have to go to war with your enemies. You do it with a heavy heart, right? This isn't like playing a video game here. These people have made war like gamification. And the interesting thing about this whole thing was an admission on his part, after he told us, by the way, last June, that their nuclear capability had been obliterated. Mm. An admission there was, if another US president in the future has to come back, they'll also hit them hard. I.e., they have capability, and even if we obliterate it now, they could come back. So this is all a complete load of nonsense. It's a temporary thing. He's just admitted it's a temporary thing. They're not going to completely eradicate their capability forever, as has just been noted by the US commander-in-chief. And if I were a US military personnel individual in the front line, I'd just be thinking to myself, why did I join the US military to be under a commander-in-chief like this who puts my life in danger for a complete and utter load of nonsense like that?
Let's listen to a key moment from what he had to say.
All I have to do is leave Iran, and we'll be doing that very soon. And they'll become tumbling down. And stock prices were up today almost to a record because they know two things. Number one, we have a safe country. We had to take a little detour because we had a madman named Khomeini, who sadly is no longer with us. And we had regime change already. We've knocked out one regime, then we knocked out the second regime. Now we have a group of people that's very, that are very different. They're much more reasonable, I think much more, much less radicalized. It's a, we have had regime change. We're dealing with people that are much more rational. And it's very, it's amazing what we've done. I think we're 2 or 3 weeks in. We'll leave. Because there's no reason for us to do this.
Sonia, dismissing the war as a little detour there.
He's got the power to unleash all kinds of chaos, and he seems to be quite gung-ho about
I'm a bit disappointed, though, Sonia, in the fact that you're talking about a very serious war in the way you are, because surely you should be focusing on the drone protection system on the White House ballroom, right? I mean, seriously, people are dying, right? Whether they're your enemies or not, fine, people kill enemies. People are dying. Your own military personnel are being killed, right? They're being attacked. They're being injured. People are now in the region. Your allies are all being attacked. They told you not to do it. Now even U.S. companies are going to be attacked. Your own domestic consumers are suffering. And we're talking about drone protection on the U.S. White House ballroom.
Point.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, point.
I think it's well a sobering
thought. But he does move from one subject.
Good luck with the briefing for the king on that. The king should focus on asking about the White House ballroom. That's what they should be talking about.
Well, talking of the king, earlier Donald Trump welcomed the news that he would be making that state visit to the United States. It will go ahead next month, but that's as far as his appreciation of the country went today. He lashed out at the government over the Iran war, telling ministers to go get your own oil from the Strait of Hormuz, and warned that they couldn't rely on the United States to help them anymore. Let's take a look at exactly what President Trump posted on social media earlier. And he said, all of those countries that can't get jet fuel because of the Strait of Hormuz, like the United Kingdom, which refused to get involved in the decapitation of Iran, I have a suggestion for you. Number one, buy from the US. We have plenty. And number two, build up some delayed courage, go to the Strait and just take it. You'll have to start learning how to fight for yourself. The USA won't be there to help you anymore, just like you weren't there for us. Iran has been essentially decimated. The hard part is done. Go get your own oil. Well, Mr. Trump's defense secretary also piled on further criticism, saying that the UK's armed forces, he spoke about them.
There are countries around the world who ought to be prepared to step up on this critical waterway as well. It's not just the United States Navy. Last time I checked, there was supposed to be a big, bad Royal Navy that could be prepared to do things like that as well. So he's pointing out this is an international waterway that we use less than most, in fact, dramatically less than most. So the world ought to pay attention and be prepared to stand up. President Trump's been willing to do the heavy lifting on behalf of the free world to address this threat of Iran.
In reaction to all of that, the Defense Secretary, John Healey, chose his words very carefully.
Well, the US is a uniquely close ally to the UK. We do things as two nations that no other militaries or intelligence services do. And my job as Defense Secretary is to make sure that we can, in this Middle Eastern conflict, defend Britain, British people, and we are, British bases, and we are, and British allies and partners, and we are.
A very measured response there from the Defence Secretary. You can see our political correspondent, Alexandra Rogers, is with us. Keen, will presume, to try and preserve what's left of the special relationship
Yes, very much downplaying the rift, but I think really the government's been accustomed to all these insults. We've had them since the beginning of the war, even since the beginning of the year when Donald Trump started making threats on Greenland. And I think whenever he does lash out, the government's response is to kind of keep calm and carry on and keep suggesting that the special relationship isn't as fractured as it clearly is, because we're still very much at odds with the US over this war and Donald Trump's aims.
In latter days, as you say, he has been standing up to Donald Trump, and that's playing well for him, Sir Keir Starmer, isn't it?
Yeah, look, Sir Keir Starmer's stuck between Scylla and Charybdis, right? He's been between a rock and a hard place. He's doing the best he can. I think it's playing well with the British public, but I think he's doing it because he actually cares about something called conventions and laws and all the rest of it. And if you're going to be talking about contraventions of international law when it comes to Russia invading Ukraine, you better be standing behind it. Otherwise, the rules-based order means absolutely nothing. I mean, I never thought it meant much, but at least Keir Starmer is holding on to the fig leaf of that. I think the British government and Europeans generally need to accept that NATO's dead. It's dead for now. It might get revived if you have a sensible US president in the future. But are we to really believe that the US would be coming to the defense of Europe if a NATO member were attacked? Of course not.